This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
A hub for vegans in Old City, offering everything a vegan or aspiring vegan might need, including clothes, information, tours, food, and connection with other vegans.
We're trying to meet everybody where they're at and then help if they're ready to move toward veganism or toward a vegan direction. We want to then connect them with whatever's going to make that doable.
And to remind you of their love for animals, they have a giant life-size stuffed animal cow in the middle of the store. This is a podcast about food in and around Philadelphia.
That's a quick, delicious, flavorful bite.
It was really hard for me to get into it.
Stories from behind the kitchen.
This is a wood-burning oven from Italy.
It is intense.
And hear about quirky stuff, too.
Eat a pint of ice cream as quickly as you can and then resume the 5K.
This is What's Cooking on KYW.
I'm Hadass Kuznets in Old City with Vance Lemkuhl. He's director of the American Vegan Center here at 17 North 2nd Street. So you kind of quietly opened about a year ago, about in September, and then you waited for 11 months to hold your grand opening. So you're kind of quietly here. Describe it to people that can't see it.
Okay, well, we're here in a very charming, historic-looking area right across from Christ Church, and this is the American Vegan Center, which is a location of the American Vegan Society. It's the first satellite location. They're headquartered in South Jersey. They've been around since 1960, doing all this work to get vegan into the mainstream conversation, and now it's starting to take hold, and we're actually stepping up here to Philadelphia in a tourist area so that we can actually meet anyone and everyone who happens by, and if anyone wants to take a vegan step, be able to help them do that. And also, if there are vegans who come to town, you know, they may want to find vegan food, find out what's happening. If there are vegan events, we have all that information, hopefully to be able to share with anybody who needs it.
So you also sell food, but it sounds like you are a hub of information.
Well, yeah. I mean, the main concept is officially we're an educational and cultural center. We do have some vegan snack foods. We have, you know, T-shirts. We have postcards. We have magazines from the American Vegan Society, books and so forth. So we do have a variety of different things. And the concept is, you know, for whatever, anybody who comes through that door, if there's something we can do to help move them in any way in a vegan direction, we want to be ready with whatever information or food or knowledge or history or anything that's going to help make that happen.
What's the biggest misconception about veganism?
Well, boy, there are a lot of contenders there. I would suggest probably that vegans have a hard time getting enough protein. People in America especially are obsessed with protein, even though most Americans eat twice as much protein as they need. So a lot of people don't know that vegetables, all vegetables have protein, and it's pretty easy to get adequate protein. Having said that, I will stress that we're not nutritionists, we're not doctors, we don't offer medical advice, but we do help people, you know, if they're saying, well, is there something I can substitute for that? You know, we have a lot of ideas along that line.
And I understand you're also starting up some cooking classes?
Yes, we're just getting started doing our cooking class. We've just started this past summer doing our events program, which we waited till we could arrange and have the events in a way that was relatively safe, but also casual and fun and friendly. And we do have a lineup that different people are ready to do classes on different elements of vegan eating. And it's a lot of fun. And frankly, knowing how to make vegan food is one of the things that helps people actually embrace veganism. So we're hoping that that has that effect.
This center, this store, has a full kitchen here in it. Can you explain what this was and how you're utilizing it now?
Yeah, this was a hostel previously. They closed in 2020. The upper floors have now been turned into apartments. We're just here on the ground floor. We do have a nice big kitchenette with an island here, which we are using for classes and so forth. We've also used as a presentation stage, and They're behind our main welcome room where people come in. There's another room that was previously a handicapped bedroom, which is now partially a storage space, but also we use it as an event and exhibit space alternately. So the place has a lot of charm and has a lot of flexibility, and we're still finding the different ways that we can make the best use out of it.
What's the story behind this gigantic stuffed animal, like life-size cow that's in the middle of your store?
Yeah, that's our cow, Hope Bell Ahimsa, Bell B-E-L-L-E, which we had a contest for people to name, and the committee, which I was not on, could not decide among the three top contenders, so they gave her three names. One of our big donors wanted to make sure that we had an animal, some animal in the place, where so that people would keep in mind that, you know, it's all about the animals, whereas we can't actually have live animals in the place. So,
well, she's life size.
She is life size, and she's very charming. Kids love to come and take their picture with her. Many other people who aren't kids love to take their picture with her. And the cow, basically, she is a dairy cow in commemoration of the founder of American Vegan Society deciding to go vegan after coming to Philadelphia to tour a slaughterhouse where, trigger warning, he saw dairy cows being slaughtered and realized that he should go from vegetarian to vegan. So after that, he founded the American Vegan Society, and that's led to us being here today.
This is an example of what people are not eating. That are
well, yeah, we hope people don't come and try to eat this cow. That would be, it would really be touch and go, because, you know, we like to say animals are not food, but this really, really is not food.
Yeah, this so. Is a stuffed animal.
Yeah, so that would be an interesting activity to see somebody try.
What are some of the most common questions that you get about veganism here?
Well, we get a lot of different kinds of questions. Some people, a lot of people feel the need to say where they're at in terms of, oh, I eat this, but I don't eat that, and that's great. And then, you know, people want to have some basic way that they can start getting into eating more vegan, and we do have different books for that. We also have articles that sometimes I can point them to in various issues of our magazine. People have questions about, like, where can I find a vegan cheesesteak? Where can I find this? Where can I find that? And we have a guide that has a little map in it for Old City where people can find different vegan offerings around Old City. And we're actually working on an app that people will be able to carry with them on their phone and just basically find vegan offerings anywhere in Philadelphia. We don't have that ready to go yet, but I have a lot of that content in my head. So a lot of times I just work out as a in-person app for people.
You're like a vegan guide in Old City here.
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, I had previously been a journalist, and so I did a vegan column for the Daily News, so I got a lot of info at that point that I have a basic grounding, and now just it's hard to actually keep up with all the places that are opening and be able to say, oh, there's this, that, and the other thing in this area. But that is a challenge that I set for myself, and I hope I'll live up to it.
What are the trends when it comes to veganism? And is it becoming more trendy to be vegan or to have vegan items on the menu that are really good?
Yeah, well, I think that for a long time, a lot of venues felt like they could get around the vegan veto, which is when you have a group that has one vegan in it, and they say, well, I can't go there because there's nothing for me to eat. They would get around it by having a veggie burger, and then people were like, that's not good enough. So some places, like here in Old City, the Khyber Pass really stepped up and added an entire menu of vegan options, and I think that had an effect on a lot of the surrounding places that they said, oh, well, now everybody's going to go to Khyber Pass when they have vegans in the group. We better have something more creative than a veggie burger. So we are seeing a lot of places start to do more creative things. And I think some of the creative vegan restaurants that we have in Philadelphia, like Veg and Miss Rachel's Pantry and, you know, 20th Street Pizza, they're doing work that I think is also inspiring a lot of their neighbors and people in their neighborhoods to say, if they can do that, maybe we can add something like that to our own menu. And I think that's spreading throughout the city and throughout the country.
Why do you think there's more awareness these days about veganism? Is it?
Well, I mean, it's hard for me not to look at it from the standpoint of the communications director of the American Vegan Society, which is the simple answer that the American Vegan Society, this has been their mission since 1960 to keep on pushing vegan more and more into the mainstream conversation. But it has seemed to really pick up over the past 10 years or so. And partially, I think the internet has helped people become more aware of a lot of things that it was easy to not think about or not have on your radar, like the effects that the food, the backstory that your food has in terms of an animal that it used to be part of, and the effect that it has on the environment. A lot of people now are much more aware of that. And so I think people are trying to make a little more conscious choices. And when they do that, and when they actually look into the facts of it, those facts, in my opinion, do lead to eating vegan.
What would you like to see happen with this center maybe flourishing here in Old City? What are some of your goals?
Well, part of the goal is to have the Philadelphia tourism industry be more vegan friendly and to have a vegan history industry. I mean, I do myself a veg history tour where we talk about the fact that Philadelphia is where the vegetarian movement in America started back in 1817. We go through a lot of fascinating history for that. So there's plenty there that a lot of the tour guides can work with, and I've actually talked with some of them about that. But larger than that, I think that vegan centers, places that are hubs for vegans to come together, vegans and non-vegans to meet each other, and people to be able to just know, oh, if there's information I need, I can always go to the vegan center. I think that those are likely to become more prevalent. So we're here in Philadelphia with the American Vegan Center. There is another vegan center that we know of in the United States that just opened shortly before we did up near Buffalo, New York. So I would love to see vegan centers all across the nation and really see people being able to get easier access to good info about vegan eating and vegan food and vegan living. And then obviously I would love to see more people adopting it.
When you walk into this store of yours, this center of yours, it does seem like it is more of a movement because you have information. You have, you know, books, pamphlets, shirts, hats, and then obviously also food. But there's a whole array of programs that you also have. So it does feel like it's a lifestyle center.
Yeah, it really is. It is something where, I mean, a lot of people still think that vegan is something like gluten-free or paleo, or it's just another way of eating, which it is a way of eating in that you're avoiding all animal products. But vegans also avoid clothing that uses animals. They avoid entertainment that uses animals. So it is really a question of changing your lifestyle. And I think that that does scare some people away, that they have to kind of take charge of where they're going in their life and not necessarily just coast with the way that they were brought up or the kind of things that they're used to that may not be actually helping them, helping their body or helping the planet. And if they are concerned about it, they have to make a decision to do that. And I know that for a lot of people, that is scary, and we try to make it less so by showing that it can be very easy to food-wise to find these things, and also to let them know that there has been and continues to be a huge community of vegetarians and vegans, and that's part of what the Veg History Tour is about, is letting people know that this whole impulse that people are noticing in a big way now has really been in our civilization since day one. And it's been different groups doing different things like that. And there's a lot of fascinating history there. So I think that letting people know about that may help some people to make that adjustment in their lifestyle.
How does environmentalism and, you know, climate change play into the vegan movement?
Well, yeah, I think that is a large driver. I think that environmentalism is a good driver for a lot of people that hear about this and start looking into it. A, you know, United Nations report in 2007 came out showing that animal agriculture is as big a contributor to climate change, greenhouse gas emissions, as all of human transportation put together. So there are people that when they look into that, they say, oh, well, you know, if I wanted to do this or that, I could make a big difference just by changing my diet. But on the top tier level, we have politicians and climate change science and everybody who keeps on talking about the energy infrastructure and transportation and this and that. And that's all great. We need to do all those things. But we also can't, just keep on driving climate change by killing more animals and housing more animals that are going to create more greenhouse gases. We need to address both of those. So I'm seeing a lot more people, I think, that are actually making that connection and then taking a step to live in accordance with what they believe.
So you mentioned Philadelphia is an important part of the vegan story in America. Can you tell me about some of the important points,
sure,
especially what you've been speaking about with some of the tour guides?
Sure. Yeah. Well, one example is Benjamin Lay, who many people are just now hearing about. He was like a footnote to history until this biography came out in 2017 by Marcus Rediker, the fearless Benjamin Lay. He was a vegetarian who would not travel by horse and carriage. He said, I can walk. Why should the horses work for me? He wouldn't wear leather or wool. He grew his own food, made his own clothes. He was essentially the first real abolitionist activist in North America, the person who was trying to wake people up about slavery. And he had a legacy that he passed along to Anthony Benizet and John Woolman, who also both went vegetarian. That carried down to the Grimke sisters in the 19th century, who were also prominent abolitionists. So that's one thread in and of itself.
And they all lived in this area?
Oh, yeah. Well, Benjamin Lay first came to Philadelphia. He got kicked out of Philadelphia Meeting because he wouldn't stop talking about the fact that the leaders of Philadelphia Meeting were slave owners. And so he went up to Abington. He was welcomed there for a while until he started the same shtick there and got kicked out of Abington Meeting. And he wound up for the last 30 years of his life living in a cave just outside Abington. But he's perhaps one of the more extreme examples. I mean, you have people who did work within the system, like Carolyn Earl White in the late 19th century. She did a lot. She created the first animal shelters in America. She was central to the whole committee that put horse drinking fountains throughout the city. She also founded the American Anti-Vivisection Society. So she did a lot. Her work was not so much about waking people up or shocking people into things as trying to find ways to work within existing systems to help animals. And she really did a lot in that area.
Now, Vance, we have to mention that in this location, it does seem like you are supporting a lot of vegan chefs. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of places and people around who are doing a lot of great work making vegan food. Not all of them have their own storefronts, so we have a place where they can sell. Vegan Chef Lenko was just in here with a delivery. She makes a wonderful vegan chicken salad. We have, for example, Papa's Custard, a chilled custard. That's a great dessert item. We're expecting a delivery from High Fidelity Bakery, which makes some gluten-free cookies. They also make gluten-free quiches and tofu pot pies. We have Sea Moss for Life juices, some juices that are infused with sea moss. We also have fresh juices from Drip Juicery. So we have a variety of frozen and fresh products and also some shelf-stable products. Most of the shelf-stable stuff is national brands, but we do have some high-fidelity snack mix, some Philly jerk, vegan jerky. So basically, yeah, we're trying to help connect people who are making vegan food with the people who want to eat it. And so far, that seems to be working pretty well.
What are some of the ways that you help people kind of navigate their veganism here?
Well, for a lot of people, they just wander in here because they're curious what it is, or they see vegan food. They want to just see what vegan food is available. But then some people get interested when they hear about some of the data points of the history tour. Some decide to go on a history tour. But then others, they may say, well, I have this situation, or I have a spouse or a daughter or a son who's going vegan or who's saying this to me, and how do I deal with that? And hopefully we can help them out with actual resources. There's a lot of books that American Vegan Society sells on their website. We have a good number of those here that I can point to chapter and verse in there. And so it really is the concept that we're trying to meet everybody where they're at and then help if they're ready to move toward veganism or toward a vegan direction, we want to then connect them with whatever's going to make that doable.
What's the next step for this organization? Is it more satellite offices?
Well, the American Vegan Society is constantly doing a lot of different initiatives. I collaborated with them back before I was working for them on the Philly Vegan Awards, which was a whole celebration of great achievement in Philadelphia in the restaurant sector and the activist sector that people voted on and picked their favorites on that. We may well do another Philly Vegan Awards later this fall or next spring. We haven't been able to do that so much during the pandemic. But things like that, they have various initiatives that where they're they help to certify vegan products on a program that is in collaboration with the Vegan Society in the UK, which came up with the first vegan certification program. I'm sure they'll be expanding that kind of thing. But certainly here at the American Vegan Center, we want to, you know, continue to ramp up the events and have more chance for people in the vegan community to meet each other.
Is that like a big thing that people like want to check off if they're dating somebody, like must be vegan?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask, because we actually have a book, Dating Vegans, which is by our vice president, Ann Dinshaw, who talks about how this has played out for her. And really, there are people who, the word vegan sexuals was coined for people who will only partner with vegans. But I would say that, you know, that it really varies according to the person. But for vegans, really, if you're with somebody who's non-vegan, you're probably hoping that they're going to go vegan eventually. And really, that's the question is, you know, how much you want to try to help them along versus how much they're going to be kind of being the person that you originally met. So it really is, there's a whole spectrum of that. And I recommend the book Dating Vegans for further inquiry into that subject.
Would you date outside of your religion? Would you date outside of your political affiliation? Would you date outside of your dietary needs?
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that there, you know, everybody has to decide, and everybody does decide those different questions for themselves. In terms of religion, I just want to take this opportunity to say veganism is not a religion. People sometimes like look and say, oh, that's like a religious cult. And it's not that, although, you know, there are aspects of it where it is a deeply held belief that, for example, there is prison reform happening now. In terms of people being able to get vegan meals in prisons, because if they're vegan, you know, that is something tantamount to a religion for them. But the point of veganism really is not so much about something supernatural or spiritual even, as just a commitment to facts and justice, that if you look at those, you only need to apply logic to them to say, if you believe this, then you may want to act accordingly. And if you believe in compassion towards animals, then you may want to actually live that in your daily life. And that's all that's required. You can add vegan spirituality onto it. You can be religious in whichever way you want and still be vegan. But veganism itself really is more of, I guess I would call it a fact-based ideology.
Got it. Vance, you are a trove of information for veganism. Where can people find out more information?
Well, the easiest way is to go to our website, AmericanVegan.org, and there you can find a whole much more information than I have off the top of my head. But we also have the tour scheduled there. You can find out when the Veg History Tour is coming. Again, I recommend that, and I may be biased because I run the tours, but I really think it's important for a lot of people to understand how thoroughly the vegan ideal and the vegan idea has permeated Western culture, not to say other cultures, but I know about Western culture, certainly. So you can find out about the tours. You can find out more about what foods to substitute for what. You can find out about different places that have vegan food. And so AmericanVegan.org would be my first stop.
All right. Vance Lemkuhl is director of the American Vegan Center here in Old City. You can tell it's Old City. You can hear all the sounds of the city behind me. We're here at 17 North 2nd Street. I don't know whether I should say happy anniversary or happy grand opening, because it's happening around the same time, right?
Right. Well, it's just a happy time. Happy time.
Congratulations. And one more time, the website is?
And the website, yes, that's the website is AmericanVegan.org.
Thanks, Vance.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of What's Cooking on KYW. You can follow the show and get other delicious tidbits on Instagram at foodinthe215. And follow me on Twitter and Facebook for more news and insights at Hadas Kuznets. If you have a food tip or feedback about the show, reach out. And please take a moment to help us by rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. It helps us to keep making the podcast and get it to new listeners. I'm Hadas Kuznets, and that's What's Cooking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.